Let's get on to happier things. Let's talk about PermaEthos 3.0. Now, it's unusual for something to be 3.0 when it was never actually 1.0. It was a design in my head as a 1.0. So for those that weren't here when I conceived of PermaEthos, I want to give you a quick elevator speech style history of how PermaEthos came to be. A little over a year ago, I got an idea to stop talking about community and build one. And I said, we could do this thing based on permaculture ethics, but it's really about libertarianism. People that just want to live and let live, and the permaculture component would be how we would manage the community, how we would feed ourselves, and how we would generate revenues. And I came up with this idea that we would get people that wanted to live in a place, and we'd find a piece of land somewhere, and we would buy it outright, and we'd do this lease model for the 1 acre of land that you would get, and we'd build this community around it, and it would have this inflow of revenues, and the revenues would be used to build a community center and like community laundries and things like that. And that way, people who were building a small home could take certain expenses out of the expense of their home. We could do it off-grid, we could do it on-grid. There was a bunch of different ways we thought about it. We thought about building it to the point where it had a workshop that acted like a makerspace, and the money was there. In fact, when I kind of did some analysis through surveys and identified both investors and people that wanted to just live there and buy a piece of it, the revenue estimates were $2.5 million, far more than was necessary. So we started shopping for land. And when we would find land, we'd say, well, this piece of land kind of works. The pricing's right, all this stuff works, and we could probably make this one work. And we'd go to the local town because you can't just buy a piece of land with that much money, especially other people's money, and assume it's going to work out. So we had to ask questions like, can we do this? And they also did the same thing. They wanted a professional engineer to put together a master plan, and then they would tell us whether or not we could do it. Now, we're talking about a type of thing that will cost $50,000 to $100,000 to develop the plan. That's what they wanted. Well, that's not a good use of your money if you are a member of this community. And all that meant is they could look at it and go, no. We looked at one place, and the guy that looked at it for us, it was a PE that could do the work, said, well, I know that county. They're going to want a paved road all the way through that property, and that's going to be over $2 million just to put a road in that you don't need. And eventually we just said, you know what, the hell with this. So I got up one morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning. I made a cup of coffee, put the dogs out, let the birds out. I walked my property, and I coalesced a new idea, a new model in my head. And I said, well, Jack, what if you just went the farm route and then backed a community into it over time? You just built a permaculture farm and took in basically contributions from investors. So I did that, and there was well over $1 million worth of potential investors that showed up. But then there's this thing called the Security and Exchange Commission, public solicitation of funding. And I got into a point where it seemed very difficult for us to actually capitalize the revenue. In other words, we could raise the money, no problem. But if I did it in a way that when you invested, you actually had a stake, and when the farm became profitable, I returned a dividend to you, I couldn't do that. I could take your money. I could just say, I'm selling memberships. And then we got kind of cloudy as to how that worked. But then all the revenue was revenue. I had to pay tax on it. Which, since I was trying to do it so that the person putting their money in would have a direct financial benefit, was immediately not a good fiduciary model for your money. In other words, taking your money as an investment and then immediately disposing of a third of it to the tax man meant I had a 30% loss for you as an investor on day one. That didn't seem to work. And we dillied around with it. We looked at things called direct public offerings. The Jobs Act of 2012 was supposed to make allowances for me to do this kind of thing, but Congress is on their ass doing nothing except screwing up the country, so they haven't provided guidance on that. So that was a gray area. You don't really know what you're getting into. And again, I'm putting a lot of people's money at a lot of risk, and myself at risk for going to like federal prison for, you know, taking your money. Even though you know why and how, and I'm full disclosure and everything else. And we had a way that kind of worked around everything with a co-op model. And then a gentleman named Kevin Keegan came to a workshop here at the Survival Podcast Homestead. And he just took a print and said, this is our farm. We're willing to fund your farm steward's salary for the first year at least. We're willing to make significant investments here. We're willing to house people. We want to do this together. And I said, you know, this is actually really easy for us to do together this way. I don't really need a ton from everybody else to do this, other than how do we fund things, and we could go pretty slow, and it would take 5 years to develop if we did it all off of farm revenues, and I really want to involve the community. But this seems too good not to do. So myself, Nicholas Ferguson, and Josiah Wallingford went to West Virginia about a month ago. We examined the farm, and it's amazing. It presents some unique challenges due to elevation changes that make the development more expensive than if the elevation changes weren't so severe. But because of the elevation, the end product is going to be amazing. What I've said before about this place is once this place is developed, if you want to see something like this, you're pretty much going to have to go to Holzer's place in Austria, Sepp Holzer at the Kramaterhof. I mean, there's going to be nothing like this in the United States of America. And things just happen right when you're doing the right things. And you're not... See, this is where for years and years I've talked about, when I talk about business principles, I've said this whole crap about, I don't want to put up my idea because somebody will steal it. This is why that's stupid. Because if I hadn't put out my idea, if I hadn't been open with you about all the troubles, all the problems, and all of the goals and all the agendas and all the things we wanted to accomplish, if I hadn't been an open book with it, none of this stuff would have happened. Kevin Keegan and Charlie Mitchell would not have come to me and said, here's our farm, let's do this together. And the next thing that happened would never have happened. Kelly Hearn, who is a bona fide Hollywood video producer. This is a guy that's worked on a lot of movies, films, shorts, corporate training films, you name it, done this stuff for over 20 years. Full-on equipment. This guy has drones that fly through the air and film different angles. Multiple shots, steady cams, tripods, mics, a truck that is a production studio. Says, you know what? Here's what I'll do. You guys pay me $50,000 as a contractor, and I will come film for a year. I'll live there. I'll document everything. And then at the end of that year, we'll figure out what we're doing next. And we'll do a PDC as an initial product. So that's something we can sell right away. And Josiah and I looked at that and said, what if we did the PDC on the farm? What if we did the PDC from the point that Josiah is showing up at this new farm as a head farm steward and seeing to housing for his volunteer workers and his tenant farmers and establishing how he's going to bring in element partners that we'll talk about in a minute and bringing in consultants like Darby Simpson, Ben Falk, who we'll talk about in a minute. And as he's laying out the initial framework planning for this farm, teaches the 14 chapters of the PDC outdoors in the field. Yeah, maybe some drawings and schematics and stuff to make things a little bit more clear, but most of it being right in the field. This is where we're going to do earthworks. This is why we've selected this point for the earthworks chapter. We discuss ethics. This is how we're housing the people on this farm. Here's how we're building people care into this. But since we're putting people here, they're going to create waste, so we have to care for the earth. These are going to be the surpluses that are created, how they're going to be reinvested. Instead of ethereal PowerPoint whiteboard PDC, a practical, down-to-earth, real-time 72-hour PDC with full permaculture certification like you get from any PDC online. And then, you know, I love Jeff Lawton. He's a member of our advisory council, by the way. In some ways, though, we're competing with him here because to do this with a whiteboard model, he charges $900. We're going to charge about $300 for the first 1,000 people that take this course. And I believe we can sell 1,000 in the next month. You can't buy it today, but I believe we can. And I believe we can because I know over 400, close, I think it was actually over 500 people in the end, not this time around, but the first time around, took Jeff Lawton's PDC through my link. So I believe we can reach people that want to do this. I believe that some people will say, I don't even know if I'm going to take the full-on course. I'll watch the parts of it that I feel interested in. I'll watch the parts of the Q&A that I feel interested in, but I just want to be part of this, and they'll buy one. And maybe they'll buy one for their spouse. I believe we can raise this funding so that we can move this project faster, because what I want to do is, yes, I want to walk before I run, but I want to be trotting by the end of this year and heading into a run. Elijah Springs is the flagship farm. It is simply the first farm, though. It will always be the showcase, because I don't know that we'll get into anything as challenging in the future. Again, the elevation changes in certain aspects of this piece of land are amazing and very, very challenging, but doable, workable. And hopefully in the future, as we're working with other farms, and we'll talk about that in a bit, we'll have places that are a little bit less challenging to put in dams, to put in access roads and things like that. But when you're going through a PDC with Josiah in this, water access structure, if you can do it here, you can do it anywhere. I'll put it to you that way. This is going to be awesome. Now, here's what makes this PDC even better. So Josiah is going to teach this course. It's 8 hours a day, 72 hours total. He's done. Kelly's into editing and post-production at that point. We'll be putting them out in modules every week or 2 weeks as we deliver the course over time to you guys. But it'll be filmed. Joe's got to, one, find another tenant farmer to go with Jesse that we already talked about. Run willing workers on organic or permaculture farms. See the fiefdom development, get livestock in, work with Darby Simpson, is going to be consulting with us on the establishment of initial livestock and marketing of livestock product, and basically run a farm. So the rest of his year is running the farm. So what's going to happen is you'll go through a module of the PDC, and there'll be questions, and there'll be a private student area. You're back there, you ask your questions. Nicholas Ferguson and I will go through and answer questions in video. So you'll be able to come back in. There'll be a list of all the questions that have been asked for that module. Click that question, and either me or Nick or one of each, we might both answer a question. And you can watch those videos. Or you can just watch the whole thing straight through if you just want the education of listening to the Q&A. This will make that product an off-the-shelf product that we can sell for years before we have to kind of do a version 2.0 of it. Because when new students come in, they're going to pay more than $300 for it, by the way. If they're not one of the first 1,000, they're going to have to, they're going to have the same questions. So there'll be very few add-on questions. At the end of this, yes, you submit a design if you want the certification. If you just want to support and you're going to kind of walk your way through this thing, there's no real timeline. It's not like you have to complete it by, okay? You complete it when you complete it, if you complete it. No one's going to be on your back like, where's your design? Because some people want the education, but they don't really need the certification. Some people really want the certification. It's going to be up to you whether you get it or not. It'll be a Tier 1. It'll be a full PDC, Permaculture Design Certification. But for PermaEthos, it'll be our Tier 1. We're going to have a multi-tiered permaculture certification platform that you can choose to do other things with. So, like, once you've taken our PDC, you qualify then to come to a design intensive, which will be a 3 to 5 day class, depending on what our final decision on it is, where you'll do an urban design and a full-on large-scale farm design. And those designs will be, you'll have people work with you to do those designs, and then critique of those designs and tweaking of those designs, and that'll be your Tier 2 certification. And there'll be multiple tiers of certification. Now, if you have somebody else's PDC and you want to come to that, that's fine. But here's where being part of the first 1,000 starts to really pay a dividend, even though it's not technically a dividend, right? So first of all, in anything that we do, the 1,000 founding PDC students will have first consideration. In the future, if we're evaluating two farms. But let me make sure I'm clear on this. We have two farms. And one farm, if we rate it out of 10 stars, is a 9. And the other farm is a 4 for how good it is to go forward with. And that's the person that we're going to work with, the budget they have, their vision, their ideas, the layout of the farm, the location of the farm, how far along things are there, what needs to be done. But it's a 9 versus a 4. And the 4 is a founding member. No, you don't go with the 4 then. If they're both 9s, founding member every time. So in choosing a farm, it's a tiebreaker. But when we release a product, if there's a limited number of them, founders go first. All right, period. End of story. Doesn't matter. There's no judging there, right? Founders will get a discount on our educational products and our subscription products forever. Whatever we're charging everybody else, you'll pay less. How much less? To be determined. Right? So first consideration. Also first consideration, if you want to come, and initially I think we're going to be scrambling to get people to come up there as volunteer workers, and as we're looking for a tenant farmer, we need someone to go with Jesse to run the other side of things as soon as possible. We need as many applications in as we can. And I think we'll struggle a little bit initially because it's brand new and people aren't sure about it. But as we develop it, we'll end up like any other farm that's of this level of exposure. We'll end up with a waiting list of people that want to intern, people that want to come and just spend a few weeks working to learn from the experience and things like that. And founders, first consideration, period. Right to the front of the line. You know, first consideration doesn't mean guaranteed. It means you go to the front of the line, we look at you, and if you qualify, you're in. That's what it means. So the opportunities here start out with that founding community member. That's where the most space is and the most honest-to-God need is right now. We need people that are willing to step up and do this. And I think at $300, it's something that if you want to be part of this, you can. And again, I want you to understand, this is being the wolf that I talked about yesterday. The establishment has done everything it can to make this type of development of community and farm and food production difficult. We've simply found a way around this. Because what I want to do out of this is I want to build so much power in Perma Ethos as a brand that I will have people that own land lining up and saying, come here, we'll make the investment and development with you, we'll take it for, we want you to manage and develop our farm. I want people getting together in this community and going, okay, they can't take investment, but four of us can get together and buy a piece of land together. And then we can pool our resources and form a budget, and we can contract with them to develop our farm, and we can develop a community model there, and we can do everything on our farm with their help that they're doing, because that's their model, is to help empower that. We're going to hold no secrets back. Now, video product and stuff like that, yeah, we're going to charge for it so we can produce it, and so frankly, we can afford to produce it in top quality. But we're not going to have any patents. If we develop a new variety of plant, we will put it under open source protection for the trademark name and for a patent. So basically that means that nobody like Monsanto or somebody else can come in and claim ownership of it, but anybody anywhere can propagate and use it. And that means, honestly, in some cases, giving up potential of one product development yielding millions of dollars in license fees. But we can yield millions of dollars license fees and go really, really slow. We can build thousands of farms and go really, really fast, because that's the goal. I want to build hundreds, if not thousands, of these farms. And I'm going to tell you as I go through the opportunities how we can end up building the communities on the farms. And some farms might have two or three families that live on the farm, and three or four other families that work on the farm that live near the farm. And some farms might have two dozen families that live on the farm. It all depends. It depends on the location, how suitable the land is for that, what the goals of the property owners are, etc. But that founding community member opportunity is real. It's a chance to be part of something that's never been done before. And the rest of this, I'm going to tell you why it's a good investment. Because the biggest thing I think people will want to know that make that investment is, you know, other than do I get an awesome PDC, which of course you do, is this going to work? I'm stewarding this as an investor, even though it's not really an investment. But I think, as I've always said, when you give your money to a cause, you should see it as an investment. So what is my indicator that these guys have their crap together and they're going to do this right? And, you know, in addition to everything I've already told you. Well, let's go through the positions. Tenant farmer. This is somebody that will live on the farm, that will work the farm. It's designed for that person over a year to go from a small stipend to a revenue share model with farm revenue paying their salary, and as soon as possible, move into a position to take over a farm. And that's either because the farm steward on the farm you're at leaves and you step up to that position, or because you've trained up enough, we find a replacement for you to bring in and do your side of things and start learning there, and you go somewhere else and take over a farm. Okay? It's an incredible opportunity to learn farming with little risk personally. Because instead of going out and buying a farm, borrowing money, doing all this stuff, you come under our stewardship and learn how to do that. Jesse Techmeyer, I'll talk about in a second, but he's already been selected for one of those two positions. There's only one left. Woomfers, which is something Joe Zaya came up with, and I love it because I was like, well, just call them woofers. That's what everybody else calls them. Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. There's a whole website for it. People can search for it, stuff like that. He's like, BS. I'm like, what do you mean BS? He's like, this is not an organic farm. That's like kids' gloves. This is a permaculture farm. This is so beyond organic. So he came up with woofers, W-W-O-P-F-E-R-S, willing workers on permaculture farms. And it is just like wolfing. This is where you come 2 weeks to 4 weeks, depending on how long you want to be there, as a volunteer worker on the farm. You get to see the farm, learn from the farm. We give you a place to stay. We give you food. We don't cook for you. That's the important thing to understand. We made a decision right away that we could not dedicate manpower to cooking for people every day. That the woofers basically will, as a community, cook for themselves. We're providing showers, laundry facility, okay, and a kitchen facility to do that with for the tenant farmers and the woofers. So this is why when Charlie and Kevin came to me and said, we'll make some investments in our property out of our pocket to support this, I was blown away with how awesome that is. But this is the kind of investment I think we're going to need going forward to take other partner properties. Because that brings the people there with a knowing that they're going to be okay. They're going to be looked after while they're there, so to speak. We're asking our wolfers to work 4 hours a day. And the rest of the day, they can draw pictures, they can walk to town, they can do whatever they want. You know, they can keep working because that's why they're there. They can go sit on a ridge and contemplate their navel. 4 hours of work a day under the direction of one of our tenant farmers and our farm steward. Element partners, it would be in most instances a good idea that an element partner had first come and volunteered to get a feel for the farm. But an element partner is what we're calling, what Joe Salatin calls fiefdoms. A fiefdom is like, you know, a king had a kingdom, but like a nobleman had a fiefdom. The land that they managed under the king's management, and they collected taxes and paid a portion of the taxes they collected over to the king. And it's kind of like that, except we're not taxing anybody. In a fiefdom model, a person looks at our farm and says, I see an opportunity. I see an opportunity. Maybe it's to raise quail and quail's eggs. They do a market analysis. They determine what they need for startup costs. They determine what space and resources they need. And we look at whether they're going to fit into living on the farm or living near the farm. We provide the resources and space. When it comes to the financial outlay, we analyze that individually. We may do it as a loan. We may do it as a draw against commission. We may say, you put up this and we put up that. It all depends on the plan and an ROI payback. Another example, we're already looking at doing this with Michael Jordan on the first farm, the Bee Whisperer bees. So you can come set the hives up, and you've got a turnkey cash flow business within a year, how that model plays out, and then we make the decision to go forward with it. And that element partner then basically becomes an independent contractor member of the community, and they write their own paycheck. We take a small percentage as a license fee to market the product that's produced through the marketing channel we'll create and under the Permanent Ethos brand. And they keep the lion's share of what they do. And they're part of the community. So we start to actually expand the community with entrepreneurs that are managing their own things. I can see on this farm, we saw several places, 2 to 3 acre orchards, off-grid housing, maybe bring electric in, because there's electric everywhere, where we could meter electric to a small dwelling and have somebody basically managing an orchard. Now, that's a long horizon thing because the orchard has to be developed over time. So we'd have to figure out some way with that element partner, how do we transition you over 3 or 4 years? How do we make, and we'll talk about some ways that can be done. But there's potential to install, you know, half a dozen or more, depending on how many Charlie and Kevin end up being comfortable with, element partners on this one farm. And we want to do multiple farms. Okay? And then farm partnerships. Farm partnerships is the big dream. Once we prove, because we have a lot of things, when I'm putting together the business plan for this, unknown, don't know yet. We're going to get through that. This is the proving ground. This is the place where we figure out exactly what works, exactly what doesn't work. We bring in some capital so we have some cushion to be able to do that. We do it in a challenging environment so everything else is easy, and we go from there, okay? And then, so what I want to be able to do by 2015 is not only be hard charging on Elijah Springs, I want to be going, send me applications for your farm. What's your budget? How many acres do you have? What is the access to your property? What type of utilities are available? What's your climate like? And I want to be building two or three of these next year. And by 2016, when everybody's talking about an election that's going to be, again, the most important election in history, I want to be doing the most important work in history. I want to be putting in a dozen of these. It's ambitious. It's a high bar, but it's very doable. Let me tell you about the people that are going to help make it happen. Let me talk about our advisory council. I have a couple other people I'm discussing with and that are basically, they're in, but I haven't gotten final confirmation. Basically explain to them all of their duties, responsibilities, and what they get out of it, and had a final, absolutely yes, I am in from them. So I'm not going to mention those yet. But the three that I have confirmed, you've heard all the names before, and they're amazing people to be working with. Top of the list, Jeff Lawton. Jeff Lawton will be part of our advisory council, which means he will be overseeing the totality of the design on this property and telling us, yes, yes, no, change this. That alone is priceless. The number of type 1 errors that we can avoid with that are incredible. I don't need to say much more about Jeff Lawton, but the fact that Jeff is willing to put his name alongside ours in this endeavor is incredible. There is not anyone in permaculture with more credibility and notoriety in the world right now than Jeff Lawton. And if anybody says there is, I'm going to say, well, who? Right? Most of the people that are even well known today aren't really into permaculture. They backed into it. Sepp Holzer never called it permaculture. You're like, oh, that's kind of what I'm doing. And Sepp's really a permaculturist, definitely. But it wasn't like he came at it from that perspective. It was like, oh, that's what I've been doing all along. Joel Salatin is not a permaculturist. Joel Salatin is a farmer rancher that is a very astute business person who I love, by the way. I absolutely love Joel Salatin. But he kind of grabbed on the permaculture brand because he's like, hey, this is good. This could be broader exposure. But even when I had him on my show about 2.5 years ago, he was like, well, I'm not really a permaculturist. I'm more of a, now he's had permaculture voices and all. There is no one that we could have on our team with the knowledge, credibility, and notoriety of Jeff Lawton. It's a massive thing. Number two, Ben Falk. Ben Falk is an amazing permaculturist. He knows how to deal with steep lands, steep properties, and cold climates. He's a guy that knows how to grow rice in Vermont. He has also really gotten into the medicinal aspects of berries like seaberry and elderberry. And I think that's an incredible niche product for us at Perma Ethos. That's a high margin product. It has a lot of work left to be done with it. We can work with him on that. We can work with him on orchard planning. And we can make sure that we're doing things that are going to work because the climates and the aspects and the slope are all very similar. We could not have a better partner locally in our general area for earthworks and planning than Ben Falk, who also has extensive notoriety and credibility. The next one, very well known to this audience, maybe not as well known to the broader market, but critical to our initial success in starting up, Darby Simpson. Darby Simpson is a farmer who makes his money on poultry, pork, cattle. He is an engineer, okay, by trade, that has gone full-on farmer. He is coming out to Perma Ethos on the first week with Josiah. He is bringing his entire cost analysis breakdown, his marketing analysis breakdown, all the things that have made his business successful, generally the things that business people hold close to the vest and don't disclose to somebody you would call a competitor, open book with us and going to walk our farm with us and show us exactly how to get up into quick revenue with poultry and pork, and he says in our market, lamb. That's, I mean, how do you get this? How do you get this in a business that we're basically doing the corporate formation for today? How does this happen? Be the wolf. That's how it happens. You do the right thing because it's the right thing, and when you run into roadblocks, you go around them, you go over them, you go through them. You don't fight the direct fight like I said yesterday. You find the way to win, and you operate as far outside the system as you can, and you hide nothing. And then people like this show up to help you. So I've got an engineer and successful farmer. I've got an incredible permaculturist in cold climates and steep slopes. And the most knowledgeable and most proven and most credible permaculturist in the world on my advisory staff. And a company that hasn't been formed officially yet. That up until today has been an ideal. And like I said, we're doing the meeting with the attorney to do the corporate filing today. As soon as I'm done with this. If that doesn't inspire that what we're going to do is going to work, I don't know what would, but let me give you our team. Number one, myself. I won't say much about me because you know me. But I will tell you this. I have been successful in business my entire life. I have built companies from the ground up successfully. I've had clients in marketing that include Donald Trump. I actually got Donald Trump as a client and then formed a company. It's not the first time I've done this. I've built a survival podcast out of my car in 5.5 years from one person, me, with an $18 recorder and a $12 headset into 90,000 people a day in a full-time business. That's who I am. I don't screw around. I don't mess up. I get it done. When we have a mistake, we pile through it, we get it done. And that's why I'm willing to take this on. And I'll tell you something else. This, in some sort of way, pulls me back into the big business model. It is the only thing that could have ever done that. I am so ever-loving happy working out of my home office with my wife on my property with my dogs and my chickens and my geese and my ducks. It takes a lot to make me want to do this. But I have come to the conclusion over the years of doing this that when this much is granted to you, you do something with it. You don't sit on it. You don't hold it for yourself. It's required, if you deserved it in the first place, that you do something with it beyond yourself, that you give back. Yes, being successful in this would do a lot for me, but I believe it would do a lot more for the world than for myself and my partners. Partner two, Josiah Wallingford. Formerly Staff Sergeant Josiah Wallingford of the United States Army. So this is another guy that doesn't mess around and knows how to get things done. He's worked with me now for 8 months as my intern and partner here on the homestead. Run multiple events with me. PDC certified, Earthwork certified, Urban Design certified. Built from the ground up Brink of Freedom in less than a year. If you look at what's been done over there, that's an incredible success story in of itself. While working his ass off here for me, he was able to do that on the side. Joe is a great teacher. He really believes in what he's doing. He's dedicated his life to permaculture principles and ethics. He's come from the world of being in the United States Army in a combat MOS to being 100% forward, non-intervention, non-violence, non-aggression. That's pretty awesome. Charlie Mitchell. Charlie Mitchell is one of the owners of Elijah Springs Farm and one of the co-owners of the soon-to-be-formed PermaEthos Inc. Charlie is a professional engineer by trade. He is a lifelong for the show. He's been listening to the show since almost the beginning. They've listened to every episode of the Survival Podcast himself and Kevin Keegan. Kevin Keegan, the co-owner of Elijah Springs Farming and another partner in PermaEthos. Charlie and Kevin are both successful business people. They run their own companies. They have for years. They understand business and they understand how to be successful in business. Kevin is in the software services industry. Again, Charlie is an engineer. So I've got two engineers. Check that out as we do this type of a project. I've got two engineers. Nicholas Ferguson from Permaculture Classroom, longtime listener to the show, personal friend, co-instructed at several of my events, so dedicated to what he's doing as a teacher that when I have him here as like an adjunctive instructor or just a guest, 12:30 at night, he's got students in front of the whiteboard going over their individual designs with them. He's in his 30s only, but he's been in horticulture, employed in horticulture since he was 12. Plant propagation, troubleshooting problems with plants, etc. Grafting, development of unique varieties, how to run a nursery. This is the guy. Jesse Tegmeyer, who is finishing up his career in the Marine Corps, will be our first tenant farmer. Jesse is currently a master sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. Master sergeant. 20 years of service to the United States Marine Corps. While he was doing that, he managed to get his permaculture design certification. He's been to several of my events. He's an amazing guy. He's got a family. It's tough for someone to go into a low-paying stipend situation as a tenant farmer, but they've got an RV. They're going to live on the farm. And he's got a Marine retirement coming. Could not be more ideal for him or for us to have that level of organizational skill, drive, and desire. I mean, if you want something done, who do you send? You send a Marine. It gets done. I've often joked that what we should do is get, like, master sergeants from the Army and the Marine Corps to run customer service at places like Discount Tire. Where, you know, you got all these customers standing around and people are playing with their thumbs instead of helping them. And you could just see it, couldn't you? I'm sorry, ma'am. Was our guy not taking care of you? Hold on a second. Maggot, get over here. Get this. I don't think that's Jesse's personality, but I'll tell you what. When it comes to senior NCOs, they do know how to organize and get things done. And we couldn't be in better hands than we are with Jesse. And then Kelly Heron. Again, Kelly is a Hollywood movie producer. Today you're going to be able to see a video trailer of the PDC, what it's going to be all about. You're going to see the farm. You're going to see the people involved. You're going to see what we did a month ago when we went through the whole farm. It's only about 2.5 minutes long. Kelly put this together. You're going to see overhead views from flying drones that we can use in our production of the PDC and other video products. Kelly, if you go to his IMDb, has a credits list a mile long of Hollywood production. How do you get a guy like this? I mean, to do a couple days of video in production, normally we would have to pay him what we're going to pay him to do a year, to do a week. But he's a listener to the show. He's a believer in what we do. And he wants to be part of this. So he's going to be there. So that's our team on site and oversight and management. Myself and Nick will be doing things from afar. So let's give you our basic plan, how we're going to do this. First, establish the farm while teaching the PDC. This is a real-world education, not theory. So this is the whole PDC. Like I said, watch the video today. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing what we can do. We have to complete the housing for our staff and for our wolfers and make sure that everything's up there. And actually, Joe's little place that he and Holly, his wife, will be living has some work left to be done on it. And Kevin and Charlie are so awesome. They basically gutted this space, straightened it all up, got it ready to go. And they're like, well, when you get here, we'll finish it so it can be finished to the way you want it. And that's just awesome and amazing for them. So we've got to finish that. We have to develop and set up a nursery. And we really need to do that because the amount of planting we need to be doing in the coming years could be cost prohibitive if we had to buy plants. Now, we're going to buy a lot of seedlings and stuff like that and plant thousands of things and try them out and basically do what Mark Shepard did with chestnuts, where you just get as many seedlings as you can get from as many sources as you can get, and you can do that cheap. You plant the shit out of it, and what grows fastest, best, and lives, you use, and you either take out or let everything else die. And you get into some alley cropping and stuff I'll talk about in a bit. But the reality is to do this development, it's a 110-acre farm. We're starting out initial development on about 18 acres of it. To plant out even a small portion of this, we need to be able to produce our own plantings. And the nursery will also produce plantings that we won't use right away that we can sell for another profit margin, profit center. In fact, I can see one of Element partners that we would have would be running the nursery and producing product both for on-site usage, which could be compensated for at, let's say, a wholesale rate, and then an outbound market retail product line. So we're doing more than you ever could with just a farmer and a farm by opening up opportunities to people, and that nursery is going to be key. And there's a significant investment there, and that's, again, why it's amazing to be working with Charlie and Kevin. We need to put in a camping area and a parking area. This is very steep terrain. This is kind of a tough environment, and we want to make sure that we can bring, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 students in and do earthworks workshops, design intensives, and things like that. This is going to be an amazing place for that. We've got to make that happen right off. Initially, we need to be establishing our first livestock. We're thinking pork, poultry, and lamb. And again, Darby is going to come help us with that. We're going to establish annual crops and perennials into an alley crop model. Alley, not ally. Alley meaning like alleys, lanes. So you have trees, and then you have a crop, and then you have more trees, and then you have a crop. And initially, you crop in annuals. And when the trees are little, they don't shade out the annuals, so you can annual crop typical production. We're also going to be putting in kind of a market garden environment all around the dwellings, like zone one, that will produce probably abundance that can be marketed, but also will feed the farmers, feed the staff, feed the woofers, feed the owners. A farm developed first to feed the people that exist there, which is how every farm was developed in America until the 1920s and 30s. When farms were developed prior to the industrial age, the first thing was they must feed the people that are on them, and then they can produce a surplus that can be sold for profit. We're reinstilling that model here. We are also going to establish a local market to sell our products into. One of the questions that the owners of the farm had, which is reasonable, is what are we going to do with all this stuff when we have it? Where are we going to sell it? And the answer to some of that is we don't know, but we've conducted a pretty good market analysis, and we know what the going rate is. We know that it's profitable, and we know that other people do it, and we know that once we have a product flow and a product forecast, we can develop a market. So we'll develop the PermaEthos market first in West Virginia and surrounding markets. For, again, initially, pork and poultry and lamb. And it's a great market to be in right now. The big reason we know we can develop the market is we know for a fact that supply does not meet demand right now in this market. One of the reasons that you have people like Darby that are willing to help us out with this, what you would normally consider confidential information, no one's afraid of losing business. No one right now in this business can produce as much as they can sell. Everybody's selling out of everything. That doesn't mean everybody goes to a farmer market selling out of tomatoes. But full-on producers that are producing marketable crops and marketable stock are sold out sometimes a year in advance. So we know we can develop that market, but it does have to be developed. We initially must get a final plan on our large-scale earthworks. It might be a phase two or three plan, but we know that we're going to do two major ridge point dams, which are going to solve a lot of water issues, put in some major swales, which will stop erosion, and recharge the springs on Elijah Springs. So Elijah Springs actually has springs again. The plan we've already developed, we know just by looking at it and doing a few calculations, will recharge springs, and we will end up with continuously running water at the bottom of the farm, which opens up all kinds of additional things that could be done. And it's almost that way already. It's a trickle. Once we charge it up, it will be a full-on creek of clean, moving, cold water. Just saying. I mean, it's pretty awesome. The earthworks, we will run workshops for the earthworks, so students will have an opportunity to come to Elijah Springs and learn earthworks on a scale that I don't think have been done in the United States before. Not for farming purposes. Bigger dams and stuff certainly have been put in. But when you look at the interconnected swales that need to go on this place, the terracing, the development, this will be the type of thing you come to one of these classes, you can do earthworks probably anywhere in the world after that. We'll also provide ongoing video updates of our progress on the farm. Once the PDC is kind of done, we're going to set up so that there's cameras available for use from our staff. Kelly going out and shoot 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes here, boom, boom, boom. Quick, rough editing, boom, uploaded, kind of like a Netflix model. So subscribers weekly are getting new content of what's going on at the farm. How about reality TV that's based on reality? Not people fighting over crap and stupid stuff and false dramas. The real things that are really going on, the challenges and the successes of the farm. And again, that is a subscription model. But guess what? If you are a founding member, it's a deeply discounted subscription model. If you're not a founding member, it's a very fair price. And I think that we'll be very successful with that alone. We'll also develop standalone educational products. So we might do a whole video product on how to build a tiny house, or how to deal with gray water, or anything like that. There'll be little pieces of it given away for free, but a structured step one, step two, step three educational product. Our subscribers will get that really, really cheap. Again, think about that more like Amazon Prime. You get a whole bunch of downloads for free, and then there's like a video that you can get for like $1.99, right? Whereas somebody else might have to pay 15 bucks for it. So we'll have that model as well. And that way we can afford Kelly, and we can develop it because we have a back-end deal with Kelly to get a percentage of the revenue off of all these products. So we can create a position where Kelly is either at Elijah Springs Farm or another PermaEthos farm pretty much for the rest of his life developing video content and producing stuff that no one else can ever do the way that we're doing it, which is what I've always tried to do. I try to do things where anybody can emulate us, but no one can be us. So that is the educational component to our revenue model. Workshops on site, subscription model, video products. Again, when we do workshops, we have a professional audio video producer, Hollywood credentials to video those and turn them into product. Affordable, portable product, sharing what works and sharing what doesn't work. Next, we need to install Element partner fiefdoms along the way. As we're doing this, I want to be finding and identifying people that can come in and set up a revenue model and get it functioning and get revenue out of it sufficient to pay for themselves in a year and sufficient to create surplus revenue back to us within 2 years. And as long as we can see the pathway to that and it's a reasonable forecast, the person seems to know what they're doing, has it well thought out, we developed the market channel for it, it's on. As long as the landowner is comfortable, it's on. And if it's not on this farm, then we find a farm. And here's the thing, guys. If we can develop enough people with good, concise business plans as Element partners, when we're evaluating a farm, we can take Element partners and say, would you be interested in going to this farm? Yes. We can go to the landowner and say, we have three Element partners that have three already decided revenue models that we can install on your farm and have them producing surplus revenue in 24 months. So does that make you more willing to invest in the other things in your land that you need to get us to come here and do this with you? See, this is what I talked about when I talked about developing farms and the weakness of a model like Joel Salatin's. And I don't mean his personal farms. I mean his partner farms. Joel has a lot of stuff he produces under a Polyface label where they lease land and they go in and they put in a bunch of paddocks. And it's all movable, portable infrastructure, and they put pigs and cows behind each other. They start moving them through, and they make $20,000 to $60,000 off that piece of land, and they do it, and they do it, and they do it, until the landowner goes, I don't want you to do it anymore, and then they pull up 90% of their infrastructure, and they go do it somewhere else. It's a very good business model, but they've planted zero trees and bushes in that model. They put in zero permanent infrastructure in that model because they can't afford to. Because when the relationship ends, it's over. We want to build tight relationships where the landowner never wants PermaEthos to go away. Just like, I don't ever want you to leave. And we're like, we don't ever want to leave. We're building these communities all over the place. And eventually, yes, we will open up some sort of investment program where we can bring in you guys as cooperative members. First consideration to the founding, got it. Discount to the founders, got it. Right? But there is a way to start returning surplus outside the company eventually. We'll just have to figure out when and where and how. The beauty of this model is we can build enough farms with enough product and enough shippable product to make that doable. I can't ship you a chicken. It's not practical. But I can ship you a box, and inside that box could be a couple jars of pickled quail's eggs with jalapenos. That I can ship you. And a couple things of honey. I can ship you that. Right? And a cube of beeswax. And a jar of a preserved sea berry juice. These things we can build, and when we have enough farms doing enough production, we can begin selling to wholesale members in a cooperative market with a profit returned back to them. How does that work? I don't know yet. We might have to form a second entity that is the customer of PermaEthos. Whatever we have to do to broaden the community involvement, as long as it makes sense to the company and the employees and contractors and partners of the company, we will get it done. So all of the things that I wanted to do before that I've had to put on the shelf or the back burner are going to happen. There'll probably never be, I don't know, it could happen, but it's probably not going to be a place with 140 families living. But how about 140 farms with 10 families average per farm living? Some might have a lot, some have a little, but 10, that's a little bit more powerful, isn't it? That's 1,400 families. I think that's a 5 to 7 year plan. I think it's completely reasonable. I have no doubt we can do that. I'm not saying we will. We might fall short of that. But I would take 50. 50 with 10 average is 500 families. Not 500 people. 500 families living their dreams, educating their children, working together. And once you have that, we can do anything. I mean, honestly, once you have a dozen proven models, the road, just think about everything that coalesced to make this happen. Everything that came together to make this happen. And then add to it 12 proven farms and how much more will line up. How many more people will want to work with us? This is really an amazing thing that's going on. And I'm very excited to be telling you about this today. I want to head into 2015. And at that point, I want through 2015 to complete the implementation on the initial 18 acres of Elijah Springs. So of 110, by the end of 2015, I want those 18 acres not into full production, obviously, but developed. All the earthworks, the majority of the mainframe plantings, portable infrastructure, and we'll probably be grazing and finishing pork on other parts of the property at the same time. But that initial development of those 18 acres by the end of 2015, I think is doable. By 2015, I want to have revenues from farm operations that return a profit, plus fund the salaries for tenants and farm stewards. So by 2015, I want the farm self-sufficient. And from my conversations with Darby, from my market analysis, there's no reason that can't happen. And I want to be, by 2015, at least targeting other farms for replicating this. I want many small communities versus one large one. That's my plan. And I'm inviting you to come do it with me. Here's some questions that I've already had and my current answers to them. One is, if I want to buy the PDC, and I want to buy one for my wife, my cousin, my uncle, my son, whatever, can I do that? Yes. Yes. Will you let members of the support brigade have first crack with concerns that the memberships would sell out? Yes. I have said for a long time now that being a member of the MSV would put you at the front of the line of things, just like I'm promising to do here, and yes. And we've also decided that the members of Josiah's Brink of Freedom, premium members there, will also be in part of that group. So yes, first, so when we initially launch this, and we, because we're not doing that today, when we say we'll take, we can now take payments to buy in, we will happily do that for MSB for 24 hours. And you'll know at least 24 hours before the launch time that it's coming. And I don't think it'll fully sell out just to MSB. And we'll open it to everybody 24 hours later. All right. But yes, you can buy more than one. And yes, MSB first. Are you guaranteeing me that you'll take my farm if I become a PDC founding member? No, I am not. I am absolutely not. In business, we have something called fiduciary responsibility. That means that there is a financial responsibility to the company itself to see to it that it doesn't make poor financial decisions and does what's best in the interest of the company. Large corporations use this as an excuse to be unethical. There's no reason you can't have fiduciary responsibility in consort with ethics. But if you want me to develop your farm and you have no budget and it's, you know, rocky, steep terrain with no cleared land and no dwelling and no utilities, and you just want me to show up and do it because you spent $300 on a PVC, I'm going to the extreme, but clearly I can't do that. Clearly that's not possible. Clearly those two things don't outweigh each other. What I'm saying, and I know I've said this already, but I want to make sure I'm very clear because I don't want to mislead anybody. If you are a founding member and your farm is under consideration and another farm is under consideration that is not owned by a founding member and they're close to each other, then we're going to go with the founding member. Okay? Is the PDC a real PDC? In other words, does it come with certification? Yes, and we will do our certification through Permaculture Global with Josiah Wallingford as your PDC teacher and myself and Nicholas Ferguson as adjunctive teachers. So absolutely. Do I have to complete the PDC for it to count as being a founding member? No, you do not. You do. I hope you do. I mean, we're doing this for a reason. We're not just, instead of just saying, well, it's a founding membership for $300 and you get diddly-doo. I mean, there's a reason we're developing a product that's easily worth $1,200 and selling it for $300. There's no way this product's not worth $1,200. The level of, when you watch the 2-minute trailer, and you will see things you've never seen in a PDC ever before. So we want you to, but no, you don't have to. Because some people don't really care if they're certified. Some people will want to go through every lesson, but they don't want to do and submit a design. That is okay. If I submit a design a year and a half later and it's a good design, will you give me certification? Yes. Yes. You might not get it in 5 minutes. You might have to say, hold on, we're into some other things right now. But yes, there's no real timeline on the completion of this. Does this mean that I can come to the farm anytime I want? No. No. We are going to do farm tours. We're going to have farm visitations. Most of the time people will be welcome there. But I mean, honest to God, you got to think about it this way. If we're in the middle of rolling out 5,000 chickens and you want to show up and hang out and have dinner right in the middle of that implementation, then we can't accommodate you at that time. So there's a process flow, a business flow going on, and visitations will be encouraged, but there will be set times and times that it's just not practical. Okay? If I am a founding member, am I guaranteed a fiefdom if I come up with an idea? No. Anybody that comes up with a fiefdom that is doable, provable, marketable, and we think it's going to work and we can work out the details, we're going to do. And if you don't have that, it doesn't matter because, again, buying a $300 PVC, we can't commit to doing something that's not in the best interest of the company. So that's that. In the PDC, what do you mean by you and Nick will answer the questions? And that's just what it means, right? Like, so what that means is Nick and I will go into the private members area and see all the students' questions, click record on our computer, do webcast recordings. They'll go to Kelly. Kelly will install them into the membership area and edit them and put a link. So it says, you know, what did Josiah mean when he said blah, 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 blah. So one person asked, so the students that came to the last event here have seen the trailer, by the way, before you have, because I did that for them since they were here, said, you know, why are you and Nick doing the Q&A? Well, because Joe has to build a farm. But we also think that it works this way, and I've learned this in teaching. A teacher will often open a student to an idea or a concept and generate a question. The student will ask the teacher the question, and the teacher will explain the answer the way that it was initially taught, because that's the frame the teacher's coming from. And that's the holdup and the hiccup for the student. And when a second instructor comes in and answers the question from a different angle, the student understands, because it's like triangulating a signal. You know, just like they tell you to stay off the radio for, you know, short durations only when you're transmitting the field, because if you're intercepted by two locations, they can triangulate back and find where you're at. Well, that works. It's a pattern. that repeats itself. And often for a student, when they hear the same thing described in two totally different ways from two totally different perspectives, it triangulates for them and it forms a clearer vision. You give them three waypoints, Joe's teaching it, Nick and I are answering it, and then it becomes crystal clear. And we also just thought it was a way that Nick and I could participate, given that we can't be on site. And we could help Joe and pull some of the weight. Those are the biggest questions I've gotten so far. If you have any more, let me know. The other big question, because a lot of people are excited about maybe developing a farm with us, you know, in the future. How big of a piece of land do I need? In my business plan, my stated property target size is 40 to 200 acres. I believe that's the sweet spot for us. I've had one person recently ask, would 30 acres work? I don't know. It depends. It would depend on the land, the budget, the goals, the objectives. It may very well work. But what does the landowner want, and what is the land able to produce? If you have 30 acres and you tell me I want 50 families living here and I want to produce enough money that everybody has an income, you're breaking, you know, part of the third ethic there. Limits the population and consumption, return of surplus, right? You're exceeding the population and consumption capacity of the land. It's like, well, I want a bee business and I want a nursery and a market garden and a mushroom business and a pastured poultry business. And I think I can run most of those myself and bring a couple other people in. And this would be a small farm, but it would be done under the Ethos brand, and we would make it work. And here's my budget. And here's how I would house a few people to do this. And maybe that smaller farm doesn't need a steward and two tenants. Maybe it needs a steward and one tenant. And, you know, how much work are you going to do? Because Charlie and Kevin, frankly, are going to help with the improvements on the property as far as the housing, because they're good at that. Charlie's going to lend his engineering, but they're basically running their businesses. They're not on the farm working every day. So we need a bigger staff. Now, if it's, well, I'm going to basically act as my own steward, okay, and we can install a co-steward, and the two of you are going to work together, well, maybe we can make a smaller farm. It all depends. So the answer to that right now is I don't know. I don't know how small we can go, and I don't know how big we'd be willing to go. But my sweet spot target, based on my analysis, is 40 to 200 acres. Okay. Will you build one where I live? Come on. Stop. You know, when are you going to build one in South Carolina? Stop. Stop. Everything I've already said leads up to whether or not we build one in South Carolina. Anyway, that is what it's all about. Get over to permaethos.com. And watch the video. The video will give you an understanding of the quality of our productivity. What you're actually buying for $300. Again, I'm going to take 1,000 people. We're hoping to go on sale with this next week. If not, it'll be the week after. It, of course, might land right in the middle of my vacation. But that's okay. I don't really have to do a lot to get that component done. Joe can take care of most of that on the technical aspects of it. Timeline of delivery, we expect early summer to release like the first module, and then every week to 2 weeks release another module through the year. So it's not going to be like you buy it and then you log in and then your whole 72-hour course is sitting there for you. This will have to be done over time, and it'll give the students time to go through the entire module, ask questions, and for Nick Ferguson and I to provide the answers. When are you going to open it back up after the first 1,000? Probably 2015. We'll probably run the PDC through the year. Hopefully, we won't take the whole year to deliver it. I'm thinking by fall, it's done as far as delivery. But then we'll answer the questions, and it'll be time for students to submit designs. Nick and I will evaluate the designs to make sure they qualify, issue certification. Josiah will issue the certification, certifying instructor, and we'll be doing all our other things at the farm. And then in early 2015, we'll probably say, okay, now it's open to everybody. What will we sell it at? I don't know, but more than $300. And it won't buy you first consideration, founding member, you know, founding PDC member, anything like that. It won't. We will probably have a page that will list all the founding members that want to be listed. Some people are like, I don't want my name there, fine. You know, we'll put founding member 001 there, or, you know, whatever, founding member 949, what have you. But those that want to be listed, that want to be known, will have a page that just has the thousand founders. And I think this is an incredible opportunity for all of us. And I have to tell you guys that when I look at it, I'm kind of overwhelmed that it's even possible, that it's even possible. That you guys, 5.5 years ago, I'm sitting in my car, I've got that cheap-ass piece of crap recorder and that taped-together headset, I'm driving up and down the highway, I have a multi-six-figure income, but it's making me miserable, it's making me fat, it's making me tired, it's making me very, very unhappy, it's making me somewhat non-human. And I say, if you guys will come along for me, come along with me on this journey, we'll make it worth your while. We'll do it. 2 years later, full time, journey to Arkansas and back. We did that together. We did episode 1000. It was over 5.5 hours of people calling in for 2 minutes apiece saying this is what they've done with their lives as part of this community. And now here we sit. Possibly one of the biggest wolf packs ever put together, about to just turn the establishment on its head, in plain view, outside the system. All the things that you're told you cannot do, we're about to do. And we have the deck stacked in our favor. There's probably never been someone that's like, you know what, let's put together a Beyond Organic Farm and Ranch, and then had the deck stacked so in their favor before. Because no one's ever had a community like TSP before to do it with. A common vision. There's a lot of you that disagree with some of my views on politics, and I certainly agree with some of yours, but in the end we agree on the basic tenets. Man should be free to be man. Parents should be free to educate their children as they see fit, and we should, by God, have the right to decide what food we eat. In spite of what a judge, who now is a lobbyist for Monsanto, said, that you do not have a right to decide what food goes in your body, by God, I believe we do. And I believe there's a lot of people out there that want to make these choices that don't have the choice available. And I want to do something about it. And I want you guys to come along with me. I'm asking you to support me in this endeavor. Get on over to PermaEthos today. Send me your questions. I will answer them. I will probably do a follow-up to this show with Q&A in audio on PermaEthos. I won't do it here at TSP. I do want to keep the two entities, though we are part of the same community, I want to keep the two entities separate. I promised you in the beginning, when I conceived of this, I will not turn TSP into the PermaEthos, you know, infomercial network, and I won't. But I wanted to share this with you today, almost as like I'm my own guest rolling this out, because I couldn't do it without you. This is one of the biggest stories ever to come out of TSP. This is one of the greatest things we've ever done, and it hasn't even really started yet. But again, just let me read you the people that are behind this. Jeff Lawton, Ben Falk, Darby Simpson, myself, Josiah, Charlie Mitchell, Kevin Keegan, Nicholas Ferguson, you know, Jesse Tegmark, Kelly Hernan. To have this group of people put together, to have an incredible farm, that, by the way, that Charlie and Kevin own, we can't lose it. They own it. It's theirs. They paid for it. This is awesome. And thank you for helping make it happen. And with that, this has been Jack Spirico today with another episode of the Survival Podcast, helping you figure out how to live that better life if times get tough, or even if they don't.
Seeing our food these days, you know it's on our TVs. Sometimes we forget we are what we eat. I don't know the answer. It's like there's nothing I can do. It's the price we pay, I guess, when we follow all the rules. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way. You don't have to be another face in the crowd. You don't have to live in a territory.
children just can't pay. If nobody up there cares, they're living for